Hello out there in Radio Land. This is Chuck Shaden with Recollections at 50. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear as we tune into a few nostalgic moments from a half century of Those Were the Days programs. There were not many times during the first 50 years of our Saturday afternoon programming that our broadcast fell on the 1st of April. When it did, however, we usually devised some outrageous event to coincide with April Fool's Day. In 1995, to support the occasion, we decided to open our show with the closing of the program. That's right, we opened with the closing. We were broadcasting on WNIB, the classical music station, and at 1 o'clock, when listeners were used to hearing the usual opening of Those Were the Days, this is what they heard. Well, that's it for today. The old clock up on the studio wall says we have to go for now. We'll be back again next Saturday afternoon from 1 to 5 with more nostalgic sounds. Next week, more sounds from radio and World War II as we tune into radio's coverage of the death of President Franklin D. Roosevelt. Our thanks to Matt Sonnenberg and Larry Peters and Neil Baskin and Jim Zaremski and Len Kunkka and Ken Alexander for the help behind the scenes. To our sponsors, Metro Golden Memories and Nostalgia Digest subscribers for making this weekly get-together possible, and to you out there in Radio Land for making it worthwhile. Those Were the Days has come to you from the Pierre Andre Memorial Studio and the Radio Hall of Fame at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in the Chicago Cultural Center. This is Chuck Shaden speaking. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Classical 97, WNIB in Chicago, WNIZ in Zion. I'm Miller Peters. Time now is 5 o'clock, and here is a brief news update from WNIB. From NASA comes a report that the American astronaut and Russian cosmonauts on board the space station Mir are running low on food. Rather than send supplies from the Earth, officials have decided to let the Mir go out of orbit and travel to the moon, where the space travelers will disembark, take on board enough green cheese to last them for a month, and then return to their orbit around the Earth. Our next brief news update will be at 6 o'clock this evening. Now we invite you to stay tuned for Zephyr. Zephyr is our early evening program presented every night of the week from 5 to 7, devoted to shorter and, for the most part, lighter classical music. Tonight's program will feature music by composers such as Kern, Hamlisch, and Coleman during the first hour. During the second hour, the composers include Johann Strauss Jr., P.D.Q. Bach, and Balfour Gardiner. We're going to begin with music of Amilcare Ponchielli. We'll hear the Dance of the Hours from his opera La Gioconda. This is in a 1949 RCA Victor recording, now available on compact disc. Here is the Dance of the Hours from La Gioconda. Thank you.
afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Doodles Weaver in the press box at Indianapolis for the races out here. It's a beautiful day for the races. Not a cloud in the sky. 150,000 people are waiting for this great event. And what a spectacle. What a wonderful spectacle. I'll describe the whole thing now. All the boys are coming around the turn. I believe it's a perfect shot as they come down here. The green flag waves. The starter says, okay. And there they go! It's car number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Jack. Jack, hit me again, dealer. Oh, no, no, no. Number 10 is taking a lead around the par turn. He goes number 13, 16, 17, a green car, blue car. The first car by the stands will be number 10. Here he comes down the straightaway, 135 miles an hour. There he goes now. Car number 3, 4, 9. A wreck! A wreck in the par turn. The man skidding around out of control, up to the fence, down to the fence. Unless he's careful, he's going to hit the fence. Please don't hit that fence. He hit it. Ladies and gentlemen, there's been a very slight accident on the far turn involving 35 cars. I have my assistant, Pootwaddle, on the track with a traveling microphone. I'm going to have him cross where that driver is. Take it away, but be careful.
I'm down on the track now, and as I cross the track, number 3 went by there. As I cross the track, 4 went by there. Well, I'm having a little trouble getting across the track. Here's the driver of that car. Say a few words, driver, so everybody will know you're perfectly okay. You just turned the driver of that car. He's all right. Finish the race, please. Whoop.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mrs. Doodles, we are back in the stand for the finish of the races. For you people tuned in late, number 13 is setting records. Here he goes now, passing everybody. Every eye is glued on that car. Looks very funny with all those eyes glued on it. Here he goes. Here he goes again. Look at that boy drive. Look at him go. He's really moving. Here he goes again. Look up. He went by twice. And here's a little midget. A little midget racer doing well. Look at that little midget. The midget racer went by. 9, 12. P38. How'd that get in the race? And up 12, 9. And the best man is number 13 around the turn down to the green flag. He's coming down here for that 10. If you think of the perfect finish down here, I believe he's going to be the winner. The crowd is going mad as he comes down, and there goes the winner!
April Fool. Well, our phone started ringing off the hook. What happened? What's going on? Did I fall asleep and wake up 4 hours late? It wasn't until the music by Spike Jones got underway that listeners finally caught on and remembered that it was April Fool's Day. Then the calls changed from what's going on to, hey, what a great gag, and so on. Well, we got them, and another April 1st was a good one, for those were the days. But we weren't fooling on a Saturday in May of 2009 when, on WDCB, Ken Alexander and I were talking about sardines and ice cream. No fooling, sardines and ice cream, and maybe a little Jell-O.
Ken, before we move along from this newspaper routine, I got a note in the mail this week from Ray Konopka of Westmont, Illinois.
Oh, yeah.
Konopka, K-O-N-O-P-K-A, Konopak.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he wonders, we've talked about sardines, you know.
Yes.
A basket of sardines at your anniversary.
I appreciate that very much. Oh, they were fine, delicious.
They're all gone now, I bet, huh?
Been gone quite a while. Okay. Oh, I sure.
He wants to know what your favorite brand is. What are the best sardines to eat, or what is your favorite?
You want to talk about that?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't really have one, Chuck. I tell you,
whichever is on sale, is that
being your favorite? being of a Scottish ancestry, I like to take advantage of good prices. I've been buying chicken of the sea, which now has the Van Camp's label on the can. Mm-hmm. They are I get them at a certain place for 75 cents now, and they're fine.
Each?
I get them in oil.
Oh,
you can get them in mustard sauce, but I'd rather have the oil. And now, there are other brands, King Oscar, which are quite expensive. And there's Reese's. You gave me some Reese's. They're all good, by the
way. That's those peanut butter.
No, candy? Not pieces. No, not at all. These are sardines.
Oh.
And there's Polar.
Oh, so you don't really have a great preference. It's just whichever.
Chicken of the sea.
But the quality varies?
To me, a sardine is a sardine. Now, some of them are the kind you get in the King Oscar. They're very tiny, little, delicate little sardines. And other ones, maybe just two or three or four in a can. They're bigger fish.
Oh.
A sardine, you know, is not a species of fish. The name sardine can be applied to any number of small fishes.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, you know it now.
I do. So, what, I mean, it could be whitefish or
no,
a
I don't
shark
know.
Or a whale.
Not a shark.
Or,
no, oh. They're small fish. I'd have to look it up. Maybe I bet right now that at this very moment Jim is looking it up on the internet. No, sardine is not a variety of fish. I mean, it's a sort of a rubric under which several different types of fish are gathered. They're all called sardines. But I like them a lot.
Well, when three or four fish are gathered under that name, they're stuffed into a tin, and that's mm-hmm. it, right? Throw a little oil in there?
Yeah, they're good in rich in omega oil, which is very good for you.
Okay.
I tell you a little anecdote about sardines. You ever heard the expression they're packed in like sardines?
Yeah.
Well, I was told a long time ago the reason that they pack so many sardines into a can, they used to be packed always in olive oil.
Uh-huh.
And by volume, olive oil is more expensive than sardines. So in order to avoid, they wanted the can to be full. So in order to avoid using much olive oil, they put as many sardines as possible in the can and then fill the rest of the space with olive oil.
Ah, okay. So, that's good. So, well, Ray Konopka, who wanted to know about that, I hope will be happy now.
But I don't have a favorite brand.
He heard me talking about ice cream. We were talking about ice cream, too, I think, either last week or the week before.
Oh, yes.
And I said someone told me that, and I had some Walgreens ice cream. That wasn't advertised in there, but I talked about Walgreens, and I said their toasted butter pecan was very good ice cream. And he says, I heard that you like, St. Ray is still writing, he says, I heard that you liked, Chuck, butter pecan ice cream. Have you tried it at Aldi food stores? I think you'll really like it. It has a good price. So now I have to try butter pecan ice cream from Aldi food stores.
Support for those of the days on WDCB provided by Aldi's food stores.
This is unsolicited.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
I'm not recommending. I haven't been to Aldi's food store. I don't think I've ever been in an Aldi's food store. I will get some butter pecan ice cream.
But about the sardines, I don't have any favorite brand. I enjoy sardines.
You remember Larry Peters, who worked with us for a number of years
here.
He was one of our regulars working on a Saturday afternoon, mostly from the Cultural Center, I believe.
Good guy.
We were over there. He noticed the article that was written about me in the Daily Herald a week or so ago, and he sent me an email about that. And he said that I recall that very first Saturday when he had joined us on the air.
Yeah.
I mean, not on the air, but as part
working.
Of our on-the-air team.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I recall that first day when you mentioned my name for the first time at the end of the show. He says, I couldn't have been more thrilled if you had given me some Jell-O in one of the six delicious flavors. He said, I ate a lot of that stuff, but was never too choked up about the shredded carrots and the lime Jell-O. People used to put fruit and carrots, I guess. Carrots would be probably the only veggie that you'd put in Jell-O, but maybe not. He said his very best was cherry or orange with sliced bananas.
Mm-hmm.
That's always good,
too. Bananas.
But this time, he also said, months ago, I had a recollection of a particular ice cream we had occasionally as kids. It was called Chicago Brick.
Oh.
It was a three-flavor affair like Neapolitan, except that it was chocolate, orange sherbet, and vanilla. He says, I think the Jewel sold it under the Yummy brand.
Mm.
And then he saw it again in St. Charles at the Colonial Ice Cream Restaurant. Well, I remember that as a favorite of mine, Chicago Brick. But I don't remember chocolate being in that. Anybody here have Chocolate Brick?
No, I
mean,
I don't
Chicago
remember.
Brick?
No? The name might sound a little familiar, but I don't know what. There was something called Neapolitan, which was three
Well, that's chocolate,
kinds.
Strawberry, and vanilla.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Oh.
But Chicago Brick, I think had maple. I think it was maple ice cream. Maple nut flavor,
yeah.
And then orange sherbet, and then vanilla, which was a real delicious combination. And you know that a brick of ice cream, not Chicago Brick, but a brick of ice cream used to be a quart in a pint-like container. I mean, if you put two pints together, you know, you used to get a square or a rectangle carton of a pint of ice cream.
Yeah.
Two of those together would be a quart of ice cream, two pints to a quart. And they had one package that was like that. And so you would go and say, your mother would say, go to the store and get a brick of ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be.
There's a quarter.
That means you either got company coming or it's going to last for 2 days, which never lasted for 2 days at our place. Well, okay, is this ice cream and Jell-O and sardines?
Mm-hmm.
Might make a nice meal for
good
somebody.
Good combination. Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
Ah, yes, those were the days.
It's always fun to reminisce. That clip was from May 16th, 2009, a month after Ken Alexander celebrated his 50 years in radio, and less than 2 months before my retirement from Those Were the Days. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Recollections at 50. There's more to come in the weeks to come. This is Chuck Shaden. Thanks for listening.